Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's August 20, 2012, and this is episode 349. Today, for the first time in a while, I'm going to walk you through my thinking as I made a number of photographs during my extended stay in Okinawa recently, after completing the first Pixels to Pigment workshop that I did down on that beautiful island. I flew into Okinawa on August 2nd on the tail end of two tropical typhoons that had threatened to keep me from making the flight. The weather wasn't great for most of the 9 days that we'd spend there, but as usual, that's often not a bad thing from a photography perspective, as we'll see. Before I left for Okinawa, I'd done some searches on 500px for shots from photographers on the island, and one of the things that I saw a lot of and decided that I wanted to get a shot of was these stone jetties that we can see in this first image that I have on the screen now if you're looking on your iPad or your iPhone. And if you're not, then do go over to the blog at mbp.ac/349 and click on the images, because if you have your browser window open nice and wide, you'll be able to see these images in a pretty big, high resolution. So do go over there. And even if you do look on your iPhone and whatever, it's always good to go over to the blog as well, because that's where you'll see the images at their largest. I saw a lot of these stone jetties throughout the week, but as luck would have it, I noticed this one from the car as I pulled it into the town of Onna, where we would be staying. I've been doing long exposure shots for a long time now, and Okinawa was to be no exception. Here I used my Hoya ND-X400 and an ND-X8 neutral density filter stacked together. For those that might not be familiar with neutral density filters, they basically cut down the amount of light that enters the camera through the lens without changing its color at all. The ND-X400 cuts out 9 stops of light, and the ND-X8 cuts out 3 stops of light, so that gives me a total of 9 stops of darkness, which is necessary to get a reasonably long exposure in bright daylight conditions. If you click on the thumbnails at the bottom of the post, the blog post that accompanies this podcast, you will open the images in a viewer that includes the shooting information, so you can see there that this image was shot at f22 for 100 seconds, or 1 minute 40 seconds. The shutter speed without the neutral density filters would have been a 40th of a second. When using this amount of filtration, I generally compose the image and find the ideal exposure without the filters initially, then count out my long exposures based on the exposure settings that I had without the filter. My math is terrible, so I literally just double up the base number until I reach the new exposure. Here, for example, I would have doubled a 40th of a second to a 20th of a second, then a 10th of a second, and then a 5th, and then 0.4 seconds, 0.8 seconds, 1.6 seconds, 3.2 seconds, 6, 13, 25, and 50 seconds, and then finally reaching 100 seconds for the 12 stops of reduced exposure. Another tip here, though, as you can see, is that the camera makes slight adjustments as it moves through the shutter speeds, as in 6, for some reason, doubles to 13. There are reasons for this, but I'm not going to go into that now. So 6 doubles to 13 and not 12. I often use the camera by clicking the wheel 3 times per, three times equals 1 stop until I get down to something close to 30 seconds, which is the longest exposure that I can set on the camera before going into bulb mode. Then I just double the last few steps until I get to the final exposure. You can also ignore the camera increment steps if you want to, and just double up, especially if you will be setting the actual number of seconds on your remote timer and you aren't tied to the camera increments at that point. But using the camera increments, at least to get down to multiple seconds, helps you to get more accurate exposure when, you know, when you actually set it on the timer. It prevents you from having to tweak very much as well, which you don't want to be doing too many times with long exposures. I used Nik Software's SilverFX Pro 2 for the black and white conversion, of course. I won't go into detail on that now. I've put out videos. I'll put a link in the blog post, but basically you can go back to episode 297 from about a year ago, in which I walked you through SilverFX Pro 2. So I'm not going to go into that again today. Artistic decisions that I made when composing this shot were to include the horizon of the sea to put the stone jetty into context, but the jetty was the main subject, so I didn't need to include much of the sky. I got down a little lower than eye level to give some good detail in the stone, but I didn't go so low that I lost the angle on the jetty. I needed to be looking down on that somewhat. Of course, the camera was tilted down for that, for this particular perspective, and I shot this at 51mm with my 24-70mm 2.8L lens. While I was waiting for a few long exposures of the jetty to run their courses, I grabbed my 100mm macro lens and shot one of the myriad of hermit crabs that were absolutely everywhere on the beach at this spot. I tried to track and follow this little guy without interrupting his busy day, but he was either scooting all over the place trying to get out of my way or hunkering down in his shell while I was too close for comfort. I eventually just picked him up and placed the shell down on the sand, positioned so that the crab would be facing me like this if he came back out of his shell. And sure enough, after a few seconds, the shell started to raise up, and I grabbed a series of shots, which this is one of the last, but I created an animated GIF file of the entire movement, which I posted on Google+. And again, I'll put a link to that in the show notes. I don't want to, these animated GIFs are quite CPU intensive, so I don't want to ruin your experience on the blog, but you know, it's kind of contradictory because I ruin everyone's experience on Google+ by putting them there. And actually, when I post, this is the second animated GIF that I've posted, and it's often done by people that are, you know, a little less conscious. And so I noticed that about 5 people unfollowed me when I posted this. But you know, if that's all they think of me, then that's fair enough. But really, it's nice to look at. It's the same as the Kingfisher shot that I put up there a few months ago. And, you know, take a look at that. There's a link in the show notes. There were also some almost transparent crabs that had made little burrows in the sand. And I spent some time on all fours with the angle finder C on the camera so that I'd look down into the viewfinder rather than crooking my neck. But while I was over the hole, the little buggers didn't come out. I could see another crab coming out from a different hole and doing his thing right just out of the corner of my eye as I waited for the first one. But then when I moved to the other burrow, he'd stay down. He'd be down there staying put in his hole, and the first one started coming out again. I was with my wife and had agreed that the mornings and late afternoons would be mine for photography, but I wouldn't spend too much time photographing during the day. So after a while, I gave up on this. Had I had more time, I'd probably have set up my camera on a tripod and left it focus on the burrow and then moved away and triggered the camera remotely when the crab came out. But yeah, you know, it wouldn't have been fair to have started doing all of that on my wife's time, so I gave up on this one. After these first few photos, we had the Pixels to Pigment workshop. And I reported on that last week, so you know all about that. And then that was the Saturday and Sunday, and then between Monday and Thursday the following week, we continued to head out, often traveling around craft and glassware shops during the day, as my wife enjoys those. And then I'd stop every so often on our travels, and most evenings, trying not to use up too many of my photography time points. On the Tuesday, I'd arranged to go to interview Sean Miller, the underwater photographer that I spoke to in episode 347, but we were out driving before that, and I spotted this beautiful white pier at the Busena Marine Park, and I just had to stop and get a few shots of this. The seas were rough due to the typhoons that were in the area, with, you know, there were perhaps 5 to 7 meter waves, some crashing into the white structure that you can see at the end of the pier in this image. I wanted to do a long exposure, but if I went out to a minute or more, I felt as though the effect would smooth the water out a little too much, and we'd lose some of the sense of the rough seas. So I just used the ND400 for 9 stops of neutral density, and this gave me a 30 second exposure at f16 ISO 100. I felt that in this case it maximized the rough look of the waves and left some texture in the water, which is what I wanted. Note how I used the rule of thirds here and put the horizon along the top third. I also included the little outcrop of rocks to the far right, showing us that the land was close there, but I didn't go as wide as to include the wall that started to clip into the right of the scene, to the right of the rocks there. I often find that a hint of what is there is enough. As I've said before, photography and composition is often more about what you leave out of the frame than what you include. This shot was actually quite a close call as well, whether or not to do a black and white conversion, because the sea was a beautiful emerald green, but the black and white won out here, as it added basically a beautiful contrast and enhanced the texture of the water, which is, after all, what I was after. In this next photo, though, which I called Sleeping Dragon, I decided to keep the colour, as this was less about the texture in the water and more about the rock texture, and the yellow sand and emerald green sea became supporting actors, and their colour helped to tell the story. This was a 55 second exposure, again using only the ND400 and ISO 100 at f16. And the photo is straight out of the camera, which, by the way, was the EOS 5D Mark III. All photos we're looking at today were shot with the 5D Mark III, except for the Hermit Crab, which was shot with the 1DX. This next photo is probably my favourite from the trip. On August 8, David Orr and Sean Miller met us at the hotel and took us out for the day. As we drove along the east coast of Okinawa, heading north, as soon as we saw the waves crashing against this rock, we all sprang up in our seats and started looking for somewhere to park David's car. I started off shooting this with my ND400, and I think also the ND8 as well, for 12 stops of darkness. But again, the really long exposure was not working here. It made things too smooth. I observed the waves for a while and realized that the length of time the water was in the air before it started to fall down again was about 1 second. So I used just the ND8 to get a 1 second exposure. I usually shoot with live view and a 2 second timer, but that made timing more difficult. And as I was already in live view, which automatically means mirror lockup, I just used my remote timer as a shutter release to trip the shutter while keeping my hands away from the camera. The result is the water is recorded in the air just long enough to record the movement, but retain a lot of texture, and the clouds have hardly moved as well. Here also is the color version, straight out of the camera, so that you can see how much more powerful the black and white image is. The colour version is nice, and that emerald green sea is hard to throw out, but the black and white version just works so much better in my opinion. After the beautiful rocks in the sea at Tsukuta, we drove a little further along the coast and David showed me the rock in the sea that he has a beautiful photograph of that he printed at our workshop. There was a line of islands in the background from the near side of the beach where we stopped, so I walked down to the end of that beach to get a better angle. When I got there, there was still land in the background, so I unzipped and removed the bottom half of my trousers, took my shoes and socks off, and waded around the outcrop. The water was deeper than I thought it would be, though, so I ended up with seawater coming up to my crotch, and I'd forgotten about the wallet in my pocket, which ended up sodden. I also stood in an ant's nest for the whole time I was shooting some long exposures, as I needed to get as close to the other side of the outcrop as possible to stop the rocks to the left of the shot here, that we see in the shot here, stop them from getting too close to the larger rock. Standing in the ant's nest was probably not the most intelligent thing to do, as I didn't know if there were any poisonous species down here, but I kept looking down and checking my legs, and they didn't seem to be interested in climbing on and stinging me. I think it was all worth it for this shot, but I got told off by my wife when we met up with them later. She'd gone on ahead with David's wife, and she was not pleased when I showed her the contents of my wallet, which were all brown from the tanning in the leather. I sat in the sun, though, wafting the notes around for a while, and we were pretty much good to go. Here's a shot of me walking back down the beach after wading around the outcrop of land, and this is courtesy of Sean Miller. Don't laugh at my pasty white legs, though, okay? So here's the last shot that we're going to look at today, which was from the second to last stop of the day. The sun was just starting to turn the sky a little orange as it neared the horizon, and although there was no sunset to speak of on this day, it was casting a faint pink tone across the water, as we can see here. These rocks were pretty nondescript, but I eyed them as I walked along the coast looking for interesting subjects, and once again figured that a long exposure might make something of the scene. This was exactly 60 seconds with the NDX400, and I really liked the effect of the lined up rocks just sort of sticking out of the sea. It looks to me like an alligator just below the surface with the spikes on its back pointing up through the surface. You can clearly see these rocks in the sea on a Google map as well, and I'll make sure that the text on the blog is linked to that. We had a great time, and I'd like once again to thank David and Sean for taking us out on this day, and to David's wife Naoko and Pete Leong's wife Haruna for coming out with us too and keeping my wife Yoshiko company while us blokes dragged our feet making photographs. Both me and my wife had a wonderful time in Okinawa, thanks to the amazingly kind people down there, both old and new friends, as well as the locals who seemed to so naturally go out of their way to help total strangers. Next week, I'll probably be bringing you a review of the new Really Right Stuff 5D Mark III L plate and the totally redesigned L plate for the 1DX, as well as my new TVC 34L Versa Series 3 tripod in what's probably going to turn into a bit of a Really Right Stuff Love Fest podcast. That will be the last regular podcast before I leave for the US to continue on my Pixels to Pigment workshop tour. During September and October, I'll try to bring you episodes and interviews from the field as time allows, so do stay tuned for that. These episodes will be a little bit sporadic. I apologize in advance for what will undoubtedly be an irregular release schedule, but do hang around because there's plenty of interesting stuff to come. Note too that I was on TWIP Plus this week, with Frederick Van Johnson, as well as my monthly co-host slot on the regular This Week in Photo podcast, which will be released tomorrow. Both were a lot of fun, so do check those out as well at thisweekinphoto.com. Thanks very much for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google+ and Twitter, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with that really right stuff love fest. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.